Welcome home and welcome to the family. So thankful for each and every one of you. And I have a question for you. Have you ever talked to someone and you asked them, how's it going? How you doing? How you been? And heard the response, busy. I'm so busy. I feel like I get that every single time. Anybody ever heard that from someone you talk to? Yeah, it's very common to think, man, I'm just slammed. I thought that I was going to have time for a vacation this summer. I need a vacation from my vacation. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you saw how busy I am, you would just be blown away. And we think, oh, this person, they got to be important. They got places to go, stuff to do, people to see. They kind of wear it as a badge of honor. You know, I'm a busy person, you know, and I'm just slammed. I'm so, so busy. And I've been there. I worked in public accounting for 3 years, and I did a lot of tax seasons. And these are crazy years, so like 70, 80 hours a week. And imagine this, it's April 16th in Rochester, New York, and we are finishing up a tax season. It's the last day that you can file taxes, and it's a Sunday. And I'd worked 8 to 8 every single day up in that week, and I was thinking, man, I'm exhausted. But instead of going to church or building in faith or a rhythm of rest in my life, I'm driving back to the tax office. So I get on the road in my little Toyota Yaris, and I'm headed south, and I'm going over an overpass, over a railroad, and as I hit that bridge, I begin to slide. And I hit the brakes, I hit the gas, I did everything I could, but man, I slid out of control. Bam! My car smacked into a telephone pole. I actually broke the telephone pole over with my little tiny Toyota Yaris. My head bounces off the steering wheel, off the dashboard, and I'm thinking, whoa! And guess what thought was running through my mind? I got to get to the office to finish a couple more tax returns. So you know it's bad, but I called my mom, and you know it's bad when you call your mom, and I said, hey, mom, you got to come get me, you got to pick me up, and you got to take me to the tax. She said, are you okay? You need to go to the urgent care? You need to go to the doctor? I said, no. I got to finish. You got to take me to the tax office. So she brought me to work, and I ended up finishing a couple tax returns there. And I was kind of like, wow, what, you know, concussion and hopefully promotion later. You know, I'm like, wow, this is what a daze. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you felt overwhelmed and stretched and thin and extended and like you've got to get it done by the deadline. Maybe you're there today. Man, Ashley Williams of Harvard Business Law did a study recently, and she said that 8 out of 10 employees who are employed in America say that they have a thing called time poverty. They have zero or no time. And time poverty is a new term that they actually coined in this study, in this journal. And it says that it's actually a negative psychological impact on a human being. It's actually more negative than if you were unemployed, that it'd be better for you to be unemployed than to have the feeling of time poverty, of being so busy that you have no more time left. And a couple weeks later, fast forward the tape, I'm at an awards dinner with everybody at the firm, and we're all sitting around, and there's hundreds of people, and they call my name from the stage. Noah Bixby wins the award for Trust Earned, and I walked up on the stage, collected my award, everybody's applauding, and I'm thinking, wow, why did I win this award? And they're elected by my peers, and they said, he won the award because he crashed his car into a telephone pole and finished the tax returns anyways. He put the client first above everything else in his life. And I was kind of proud of this. I was excited about this. Oh man, I did a great job and I won the award and I went out on a limb and I took advantage of a snowy day and a bad situation. And I was kind of excited about winning this award. The problem is with this whole thing is there's a tension in me because my goal is not to be busy. Like my goal is to be godly. And the problem is that our goal as believers is not to be busy, but to be godly. See, I was scoring on the wrong goal. I was scoring on the goal of busyness, and I was missing the goal of godliness. And I could feel as I got busier and busier and busier, my calendar grew, my soul began to shrivel, and my spirit began to shrink. And Levi Lusco says it this way. He says that a crowded life is the enemy of a fruitful soul. That a crowded life is the enemy of a fruitful soul. So, and maybe you've been there too, that as the calendar grows, it begins to choke out the spiritual growth that you're enjoying in your life for the fruitfulness that God wants to produce in you. And if I asked you today, which goal are you scoring on? Are you scoring on the goal of busyness or of godliness? Maybe you would say busyness like I would. Or maybe if I asked you, have you had time to slow down and pray this week, to connect with someone? Have you had time to refill your soul or even think about your spirit? I wonder what your answer would be to that. Have you had time to read your Bible this week? I wonder what your answer would be. This message is for you, and it's titled, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Can't Stop, Won't Stop, and we're in week four of a series called Written in Stone, and it's all about the Ten Commandments. And I'm so pumped to be talking about this topic because we're actually talking about the fourth of our Ten Commandments, Sabbath rest. And so if you want to follow along with us, you can jump in your app, in the notes, or you can follow along in your Bible. We're going to jump into Exodus 20, verse 8. And so follow along with me here as we dive into God's Word. It says this, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You think, whoa, 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 what's a Sabbath? What does that mean? Sabbath? Like, what kind of word is that? It's from the Hebrew word Shabbat. The word Shabbat means to stop or to cease. It means to quit something. So whenever you see the word Sabbath, you can think stop in your mind. All right. So remember the stop day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So work all these days on 6 days. Hey, that might be a word. You might need to remember to labor for 6 days. But the seventh day is a stop to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male nor your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. And what's crazy about this is that up until this point, the people of Israel, they'd been in slavery in Egypt, so they had 0 days off. Their grandparents, 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 grandparents never took a day off. So the people of Israel were kind of like, what is this thing that God has commanded us to do? And God sets up a Sabbath as a rule in his civil law. He says, this is a rule that you have to follow, and it's in my civil law. And you say, what is God's civil law? Well, his civil law is something that sets his people apart from other people and nations. And so he says, hey, I want you to be different. I don't want you to have tattoos. I don't want you to wear two different kind of fabrics like polyester. I want you to keep certain festivals and days holy. I want you to have like Feast of Booths. And I don't want you to eat certain foods. So you can't have bacon. I'm like, oh, no bacon for the people of Israel? Like, that's crazy, right? But these people are set aside. They're different. They can't eat what other people do. They can't wear what other people do. And they have 1 day a week that's set aside for God. And it sets them and marks them as God's people. So the first thing that this day is it is a rule in God's civil law. And this is still true today. If you go to Israel, I was on a run in a city called Tiberias in Israel, and it was eerie because there's boats and there's cars and there's apartments, but there's no people. You run around, there's just like a ghost town. It's crazy, super, super strange. But the Sabbath is still kept today. In fact, you can't even spit on the Sabbath day, or you might water something, right? It's laughable. That's how crazy it is. They take this thing serious. You can't walk a certain number of steps, or you might be working. You might break the Sabbath day. And even in Rochester, there's a lot of people who don't drive on Saturdays because it is Shabbat. It is the day for rest for the Lord. But this is the only command where God tells us why he gives it. And so it's not just a rule in his civil law. And he tells us why. He says this in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the stop day and made it holy. So he gives us the reason for the command. He says, look, the Sabbath is a rule to keep you separate from other nations, but it's also a powerful rhythm in God's natural law. He sets it up as a powerful rhythm in God's natural law. And he says, hey, if you want to work with the fabric of the universe, I bound in a day of rest. That I worked for 6 days to build the sea and the stars and the moon and everything that's on earth, but on the seventh day, I rested. That the pinnacle of 6 days of work is not accomplishing something, it is resting. And so God says, I built it into the universe. I built it into the way the world works. And if you say, hey, no, I'm actually kind of a unique case. I don't really need rest at all. I'd like you to just try to stay awake for 48 hours and come back to me and tell me how that's working out for you. We all know we need rest, that God made us for rest. John Pavkal, a Stanford University professor, did a study on when people are most productive and how many hours a week should they work. He found that between 50 and 55 hours a week is the prime amount of time to work as an employee. After that 50 to 55 hours a week, guess what you see? You crash your car into a telephone pole after 55 hours of work. That's what you do because your productivity plummets after 50 to 55 hours a week of work. God wove it into the fabric of creation. And you say, okay, Noah, I hear you. Thanks for this background. Thanks for this history. Thanks for this culture that the Israelite people did this and they kept these commands. But what does it mean for me today? What does it mean? I'm a believer or I watch other Christians around me. Like, they're driving still. They drove here to church. They're still brushing their teeth, or I hope they are. You know, like, hopefully they spit this morning. I don't know, but or maybe they don't swallow tooth. That's just not a good idea. You know, let me just tell you, stop you right there. People, what does it mean for Christians today? Well, the rule of Sabbath is actually fulfilled in Christ. Jesus changed everything, but the rhythm is still powerful. See, the rule of Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ, but the rhythm is still powerful for believers today. And this is great news. Because look, you don't have to try to keep every detail of a Sabbath day holy. You don't have to count how many steps you're taking. You can drive places. You don't have to take every Saturday and, you know, make sure you don't spit on the ground or accidentally water something or harvest something accidentally. See, we can't keep the Sabbath day holy perfectly, so Jesus did it for us. And he became our Sabbath rest. And he says, you no longer have to keep that civil law, but the natural rhythm is still extremely powerful. This is such good news that we don't have to rest anymore. We get to rest. It's our privilege. It's an honor to be able to rest with God. Colossians 2, 13 through 17 says this, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. You were dead, God made you alive. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal debtedness. So we set a debt and he paid it, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers of the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, this is what this means. Therefore, because of this, because of Christ, because he conquered sin and the law and he beat the grave, no longer should we judge by what you eat or drink. We can have bacon again. Woohoo! Right? This is good news. Or with regard to religious festivals, you shouldn't have to keep the festival of booths or Passover. We don't build little booths and live in them for a week. We're not remembering the way that people of Israel did. We can wear polyester. You know, that's a good thing. We can have tattoos. You don't have to judge with regard to religious festivals or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. And there's our word, or the stop day. See, you don't have to follow it on Saturday. It could be a Sunday. It could be a different way that you rest in Christ. Because in verse 17, it says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. These are all pointing to what will be. However, the reality is found in Christ. That Christ finishes our rest. And this is a sign. Sabbath is a sign that points to Jesus ultimately providing rest for his followers. And it's a big signpost that says, rest this way. Rest this way. Use Jesus to rest from your work. This is great news, folks. We don't have to purchase or press or count our steps or count how much, you know, we're working on the Sabbath day. We are free to rest in Christ. It's done for us. God fulfilled it through Christ. Not abolished it. He didn't get rid of it. He fulfilled it. He didn't come to take rest away from us. He came to give us, to bring rest to us. Through Jesus, we have more than a day off. We have God-given rest. God-given rest. And I'd love to illustrate it for you this way. This is a little bit comical. This is Noah. I'm about 11 years old, and my sweet, dear, generous, loving, patient, kind father. Does anyone know Scott Bixby? Yeah. That's my dad, to clear things up. All right, I know he has more hair than me. I know he's like a 17-year-old in a 60-year-old's body, but yeah, that's not my brother. That's my dad, okay? So clear this up. Him and I, we're swimming in a pool. We always went to hotels, pools. I know, kind of gross, but anyways. We would always swim in the hotel pool as a family. So we're swimming around in there. My dad, sweet, loving, generous dad, comes up alongside me and he says, hey, no, son, I'd love to teach you how to float on your back. What does 11-year-old Noah say? Nah, I don't want to learn to float on my back. I don't need that. I can tread water forever. Exact quote. I can tread water forever, right? The Navy SEAL in me came out. And he looks at me and he says, okay, son, how about this? I'll float on my back, you tread water, and we'll see who gives up first. Now this, if you know, I cannot back down from a challenge. And challenge accepted, father. Let's go. So I start treading water, and I'm feeling great, right? I'm feeling like, dude, you're never going to beat me at this. I'm going to crush you in this challenge. You have to drag my drowned body out of this pool before I give up. And he's over there floating on his back, you know? I'm like, ah, dude. So I'm feeling great. A couple minutes in, toe starts to cramp, you know, foot starts to cramp, and you're thinking, ah, I got to push through that. Whew, gotta keep working on that. Oh man, it's starting to hurt a little bit. I'm feeling pretty good still. Just keep pushing past it. Then, you know, you begin to feel the stitch in your side develop, and it works its way. The cramp starts coming up your calf. And if you've ever been there, you've been there. You know what I'm saying? You know. And at that point, my mouth started bobbing under the water. My ears started going in the water. I'm thinking, oh no, I don't know that I can do this, but there's no way I'm getting out, right? I mean, he's got to drown me. I'm not, there's no way. He's pulling me out dead. So I'm like, struggling. And then eventually I'm doing more like a swan dive, like a loon. I'm going under the water. I'm coming back up, you know, like, ooh, and trying to take breaths. Eventually my dad grabs me, pulls me up, sets me on the side. He says, you're done. And maybe you feel like you're there. You're overtired. You're stressed out. The deadlines are coming. You're treading water, you're striving, you're working so hard, you're trying to do everything that's on your plate and your calendar, and the tasks are consuming you, that you're treading so much water. And God says, I want to teach you how to float on your back. I want to teach you to rest in me. No, Lord, I can't do that. That's scary. I want to be in control. I want to be the Savior. I got to tread water. I got to work for this. And he says, let me teach you, son, how to rest in me. To trust in me. And maybe you're there. And maybe you say, I'm not going to learn how to float on my back. There's no way I'm going to rest today. I got way too much to do, too much laundry to fold, too many things to take care of. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart. Let me teach you how to float on your back. I'm humble and I'm gentle, and I will give you rest for your soul. Not just a day off, but soul-filling, life-giving rest. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. So how about you? How are you doing at resting? Do you take time to spend with God and to learn from him how to rest? Or are you treading water? Telling your father that you can go a little longer, but drowning in self-determination? Are you crashing into telephone poles and winning awards? Or are you walking out, floating on your back, and enjoying the life has given us? God, Jesus didn't come to get rid of the law, to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, to be your rest. And my problem is I have a trust issue. See, I don't trust that God can do in 6 days what I can do in seven. So my question is for you. Do you trust that God can do in 6 days what you can do in seven? He created the heavens, the earth, the moon, the stars, and everything in 6 days. And yet we say, no, Lord, I have to keep working. I have to be the rescuer. I have to be the Savior. I have to put on the cape. I have to put on the crown. And I have to make the difference. And he says, I've already saved you. I put on the cape. Take off the crown. I already have the crown. Just let me save you. Let me teach you. And we continue to try to do in 7 days what God has done in six. And I say, no, I don't need help, Lord. I don't need help. I'm refusing. I can't let you have control or rest in you. But take it from me, man. Take it from a busy guy, from a guy who prioritized everything but spiritual growth. Your refusal to rest is not strength. You saying, I'm never going to rest again, is not strength. It is pride dressed up as hustle. When I was saying in that pool saying, no, I don't want to learn how to float on my back, I was too proud to learn something new. I was too proud to trust the water. And so I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not taking that route. And maybe you feel that pride sink in. You say, I'm going to hustle. I'm going to take it. It's my way or the highway. The Sabbath is a way for you to break through that barrier and say, God, this day is yours. I'm fully yours. And it reminds me who I live for. It's a day to spend eternity with God, to practice eternity every week. And so I want to teach you a little bit about our Sabbath and how to build a Sabbath rhythm into your life. And so if you go to iwant.info or you go to our app, we have a button there. And we've built a Sabbath tool for you. And you can create your custom Sabbath day for yourself. And I'm telling you, this is my best day of my life. I love it so much. It's such a joy to be a part of the Sabbath day. I'm telling you, it's like Christmas once a week. It's like Disney made a day for me. It's where my soul mingles with God. It's where I'm restored, where life-giving, soul-filling rest is found. And I'd love for you to experience that. So I have built this app, and you're going to be able to make spiritual practices and phrases, and you can add them to your custom calendar by going to iwant.info. Here we got some Bible study, got some spiritual practices, and add some pleasure stacking in there, and we'll talk about what these things all look like. But maybe you're going to build this and then pick a day to stop and to rest. So pick a day and going to focus on spiritual parts of your life rather than the physical parts of your life. So at the end, once you've built your day and kind of customized it, you email it to yourself, pick, choose the day, and this we're going to choose Tuesday. You can choose any day you want, but create a regular rhythm of rest in your life. Build it in to your spiritual practice. It's space to come back to your holy center in God, to remind us who we live for, to where your spirit is with God's spirit. It's a day to just be and not to do, not to accomplish, where we delight turns to gratitude and gratitude turns to worship. But the first step is the hardest, and it's to plan 24 hours to stop and rest. You got to stop and rest. Let's put the phone away, right? Hey, roadblocks or social media, scrolling Instagram for 12 hours is not rest, okay? So put the phone away, put that away for the day. Do not disturb, get rid of it. Or maybe you got some negative thoughts. Write those down on a piece of paper. Put those in a box. Put it away. Stop. Do zero normal work. You're going to be resting on this day. Do zero normal work, which you'd normally do. I can hear it now. I think, oh, man. No, I'm going to rest when I die, right? And I can do today what I could do tomorrow, and that would make a brighter future for myself. My challenge for you, you know, I have basketball. It's on a Sunday. I can't let it go of a day a week. And if I don't practice on Sunday, then I can't play in the game on Tuesday. No, this is. I can't rest. I don't have time for rest. I want to encourage you. Man, you are not what you accomplish. Listen to me. You are not what you accomplish. You are not the number of tax returns that you finish. You are not the number of basketball. I know you could be the next LeBron James, but if you don't take time to rest and refill your soul, you're more than a physical being. You have a spirit, you have a soul that needs time with God, that needs rest, that needs refilled, that needs restored, that needs reborn in Christ. And so my challenge is that you would run to Jesus. Teach him, let him teach you how to rest. Second step is to add some pleasure. And this is my favorite. This is so fun. Like, you're adding things that just remind you how to restore your soul and adding things that you would delight in God more. And that delight turns to gratitude, and that gratitude turns to worship. So pick three things. You could pick four, whatever. Pick things that you would say, man, this is something that I delight in. I love it. Maybe it's a feast, and it's like bacon or guac and chips, or maybe for you it's like decadent chocolate pudding and just amazing blessings of God. Maybe it's a run or through a forest or nature. Maybe get the kids around and do a picnic. Or maybe for you it's listening to music, playing a song on a guitar or an instrument, being with God, spending time delighting in his creation. Third step is to worship. We're going to lock in, spend some time with the Lord, and that's through scripture reading or memorization, meditation, maybe prayer. Maybe it's through attending a worship service or heading out to the backwoods area and just praying for a while with God. Just being with God. Maybe for you, it's putting on a bunch of costumes and acting out the story of Jonah as a family. You know, and the kid, you're going to be Jonah and your mom's going to be the whale. No. Don't make mom the whale. Whatever you do, don't make mom the whale. Yeah, somebody else can be the whale. But just act out a story. Have fun as a family. Spend some time enjoying what God has given us and worshiping him for it. And I promise you, man, you feel like you're drowning today, you feel like you're treading water, you're sinking, your lips are dripping below that line, and maybe you're diving down and coming back up. Maybe you don't even feel like you can go on. Like, there's no time. You have zero time. Maybe you're in that boat. Man, I want to encourage you. Sabbath is a lifeline. It is a buoy. It is a way out. It is a way to rest with God. I want to challenge you to set aside a day to set aside your pride and remind yourself that you're not your Savior and that Jesus is, that he paid the price, that the law is fulfilled, but that the rhythm of Sabbath is powerful. The rule is no longer here, but the rhythm is powerful. And maybe you say, man, I'm heavy laden. I'm burdened down. I can't take one more step. I just can't even move under the weight of the amount of stuff and stress and anxiety and depression in my heart and in my life. And I'm so busy and distracted, and I've tried every other avenue. I want to leave you with the words of Jesus, and he says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. So I just want to take a minute to sit quietly in silence and solitude and just connect with God, to remember that He is God, to be still, and to know that He is God, and that we are not, that your Sabbath day begins right now. So I'm just praying with you that you'd quiet your heart, take a moment to spend with God this Sabbath day.